Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I do know that, I think I saw that the ACL injuries are highest actually in preseason games. It's presumably because guys are sort of not all the way back into football shape at that point. And you know, maybe that's, and often that's guys who are end of the roster guys who are playing in the preseason games. But now that you have regular season games, the guys that are getting injuries are not end of the roster guys. They're higher profile players. So that, I think that could definitely be an impact.
So you have a lot of good Nick Mullins stats that you've been sharing the last few days. And a lot of them indicate that, look, Nick Mullins was pretty successful when he was in there and threw the ball downfield more than you would expect, and this might not be so bad. And then there's this share of 49ers targets for George Kittle by quarterback. Brian Hoyer was 9%. C.J. Beathard was 15%. Jimmy Garoppolo has been 20%, and Nick Mullins 30%. How worried do we need to be that Nick Mullins won't have a guy he liked to throw it to a third of the time?
I can definitely be concerned. I could be a bigger concern if this was for multiple weeks that you're looking at and against a team better than the Giants. You know, I think that they still should be able to, even missing the guys that they're missing, they think they're still probably a better team than the Giants. You know, Mullins also, I think he had the most success with Dante Pettis out of any 49er quarterback over the last couple of years. He did have some decent success with Bourne. Basically, his target share, the difference with him and Garoppolo, they threw to receivers about the same share of time, and Mullins to the tight ends more, and Garoppolo throws to the running backs more. And the tight ends has mostly been Kittle for Mullins. So, you know, he'll throw to the receivers the same amount, basically, as Jimmy did. So I don't know necessarily if missing Kittle will be as big with, you know, I don't think it's obviously big missing him, but I don't think, if it's that much bigger with Mullins than it is with Garoppolo.
If you're not following him on Twitter, you're not nearly as informed as a football fan as you should be. At Josh Dubow, D-U-B-O-W-A-P for Associated Press. And like I said, even Ratto likes your work, which is the ultimate compliment. You know what I mean?
Let's not lose perspective here. I read it. I don't always like it.
Well, here's the thing. When I invited Josh on, I said, even Ratto likes your work. And that immediately put up a red flag for him. He was like, uh-oh, I'm a little worried. I don't know if I want to do this.
No. Ray's my biggest fan. Ray likes any minutia.
And you got minutia on top of minutia. You really do. I think that you must have like a file cabinet that is just marked arguing with Raiders fans for all the time that you spent arguing with them online. Do you enjoy it now that they're in Las Vegas more or less?
Well, I still get to cover them because I was there for the opener. I got to follow them for the opener and still doing all the Zooms with them and still covering them. So I still get to keep up with them and keep up these arguments with the Raider fans. It's enjoyable. It's always fun.
Hey, you're one of the only people I've known who've walked into that building then at Allegiant Stadium. What'd you think taking a gander around the place?
It looks nice. I like the indoor stadium where you have natural light, so you can get a little bit of natural light in there. I like a stadium where the press box is open and you can hear a crowd if there is a crowd, which they had there. So I think those aspects were nice. I think it'd be interesting to see what it's like when you do have fans in there. I guess we can all go for maybe a UNLV game and later this year, because it sounds like they might have fans for those. But man, there we go. We can schedule a road trip.
Do you have a hobby?
Arguing with Raider fans doesn't count as a hobby?
Well, it's probably the kind of hobby you would expect from someone who lives with 46 cats. but
one guy.
You do spend an extraordinary amount of time plowing through Stats Inc. and Pro Football Reference and a lot of other things to find things that, frankly, I don't think any of the national analysts ever look at. And in fact, you find things that a lot of the analytics guys like Pro Football Focus don't really do. How did you decide to sort of mine this sort of otherwise untraveled corner of the football internet?
I've always been statistically and analytically inclined, even, you know, way back as a kid, like reading Bill James or Baseball Prospectus, things like that. And probably with football, sorry, because there are a lot of people who can watch film and break that down better than I can, or who can scout college players better than I can. So I got to find something that I can do that isn't being done. So I figured, okay, I can do this. We have access to some of these databases, and I've got a deranged mind that thinks of looking these things up, and there you go.
Do your children hate you?
No, they actually like it. It means that I'm not bothering them when I'm doing that. So
it works out for everybody. That's nice. Yeah. So as a deranged person who spends hours and hours combing through stats, what is sort of the most interesting or weirdest statistic you've come across over the last few months that you feel like is COVID influenced?
That's interesting. I think we're a little, you know, the scoring has been, it's not a weird one. I think some people have had this, you know, we're off to the fastest scoring start, best offensive start to a season. And it was somewhat similar to 2011 when they had no offseason. Offense was definitely way higher in the beginning of the year than it had been in the past. I think they show that defense probably takes more. I think one mistake on defense can, you know, lead to a touchdown, or one mistake on offense just leads to the next down often, you know. So I think the lack of the offseason, the lack of continuity, things like that have probably been helping the offense out more. My guess is no crowd helps the road team offense out more. It does look like it's early. It's hard to make two big conclusions, but road teams are snapping the ball a lot quicker, a couple seconds quicker this year than they have in the past. Which might have to do with, you know, not having to go silent count, be able to get plays in and out faster and things like that. So that's what I'm going to be tracking a little more. And it's still a little early on some of these to figure out how much is COVID related, how much is just fluke.
Again, give him a follow on Twitter at Josh Dubow AP. The fact that you have but 12,000 followers is an indication of how stupid football fans are. I mean, the fact that Skip Bayless has like 3 million followers and you have 12,000 is an absolute joke. I mean, you are so good at what you do. We've been wanting to get you on this show for a while. Thank you very much for joining us. Like you said, you just took a look at the Raiders. They're off to New England. Thanks to you, I know that Bill Belichick has faced John Gruden as a head coach just twice, a Tuck Rule game and another shutout performance over his Buccaneers. The last time the Raiders win in New England is all the way back in 1994. So is Gruden and are the Raiders due for an upset win in New England this weekend?
I would say no. That'd be mine. I don't see it happening. without missing Henry Ruggs isn't going to help, and a short week's not going to help. And that defense is still, and if Seattle's able to score and move the ball on them, but I'm not necessarily sure the Raiders are going to be able to do the same.
Josh, thank you very much. It was great catching up with you and finally having you on the show. Really appreciate it. I don't know if Ratto appreciated it, but we certainly did. Thank you very much, Josh Dubow of the Associated Press. I mean it. Follow him.
10 minutes, I can't get back.
Follow that guy. I'm even going to use my Twitter to pump up his Twitter. I mean it. Every single weekend, he unearths at least 4 nuggets of information that I'm instantly emailing to myself thinking, all right, that's on the show next week. I'm going to have that on the show next week. That we got to talk about that next week. It's a really great resource.
The best thing about him, though, is that he never sort of pursues that part of it. It's never, gee, what can I do that will raise my Twitter profile? He's one of those guys who looks for this stuff because it interests him, not because this is sort of a closet industry that he's cornered the market on. He's always been like that. He was like this before Twitter.
Right. No, there's nothing showboaty about him. He's not here to impress anybody. He's just here to make you a little bit smarter should you actually go ahead and follow him. We got to take a real quick break, and when we come on back, our second big question for the 49ers. Each and every Friday, quarter past the hour, question numero dos coming up next here on 95.7 The Game. We are brought to you, Damon Ratto and Kolsky, by Amazon Workforce.
Damon Ratto and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
We're going to be hearing from Nick Mullins here in just a second. He was talking to the media about what he has improved since the last time you saw him start a game for the 49ers. The next time you'll see him start a game for the 49ers is Sunday at MetLife Stadium against the New York Giants. We're also going to hear from Kyle Shanahan in a little bit. Damon Ratto and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game. We got a question, one big question per hour about the game that the 49ers are going to be playing. And here we are. Ready for question number two. So, Ray and Matt, let me ask you. If the New York Giants don't have to double Arik Armstead, is that an indictment on Arik Armstead considering the supporting cast that won't be around him? I mean, if this is a 4-3 defense, three of the four of that 4-3, the starters anyways, are missing. Javon Kinlaw maybe, but... if Armstead doesn't need extra attention, does that say something about him that's not very good?
It may say that the Giants are just planning to run a lot. If they have to throw a lot, yeah, I would think that he'd be the guy you would double, because I don't think Kinlaw is a pass rush terror yet, and there really isn't anybody else. So if they're forced to start throwing the ball around the field, I don't know if it's an indictment, because it could be an indication that Joe Judge is just stubborn and stupid. But I would say he's the obvious candidate to double in any pass blocking situation.
Yeah, I mean, the short answer to your question is yes. If they're not doubling him, it's probably because he's not having the effect he ought to. And if they're not doubling him and he's tearing them to shreds, well then, yeah, we can call Joe Judge stupid. But my instinct would be, if they're not doubling Armstead, they're succeeding.
Who, the Giants?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm saying, like, if they don't need to double Arik Armstead to stop him from doing damage, then, like, that's bad for the Niners.
You'd think. At least that's the way I was thinking about it, too. I am very much on the fence with Arik Armstead. There's a part of me that see him flash and think, okay, but what they have committed to him, I don't know, man. I still have him as a bigger question mark than a guy making that kind of money should be getting. I don't know, man. He looks the part, but I don't know if he plays the part and fills the bill week in, week out.
I thought he did last week, though. You know, I thought week one, he was a little bit invisible. Week two, he was good. So let's hope week one was shaking the rust off without a preseason, and we'll see better and better as the year goes on. I don't think it's crazy to expect that.
Yeah, I think we're making more of what I think the Giants can do than maybe we should, because the Giants have lost their best wide receiver. They've lost basically two-thirds of their offense in general in Barkley. So I'm not sure what to expect from them. I mean, maybe they try to just run away from Armstead entirely and try to just, you know, avoid the problem, you know, that way. So I don't know that necessarily what the Giants do will dictate what Armstead's value is in this game as much as Armstead will. I mean, I don't know that the Giants have enough wherewithal to say, we're going to double that guy because that's going to create so many other things that we can do. Because I don't think anything creates anything that they can do.
Kerry Heidler Jr., big week for you, buddy. DJ Jones, big week for you. Kentavious Street, Deion Jordan, who is now up from the practice squad. Ziggy Ansah. I mean, my eyes are going to be on Ziggy Ansah whenever he hits that field. I can't wait to see if he can throw something at what we all know is a team that is maybe a good warm-up team in the San Francisco, or in the New York Giants. We're going to know more about the Giants in just a little bit. As a matter of fact, coming up at quarter till, Brandon Tierney from CBS Sports Radio is going to be joining us. And Brandon, of course, had a little turn on 95.7 The Game right in afternoon drive. So an old friend to old listeners is coming up in just a little bit. I always think it's a kick to get him back on the air. I know he enjoys it too. So we're going to have Brandon on.
Can I just
on
point
just
out
a little bit? Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Before we move on from the sort of the defensive line considerations, you just mentioned two names in Deion Jordan and Ziggy Ansah, who we expect to see in Niner uniforms for the first time. Do you realize those are the third and fifth picks in the 2013 draft?
I knew Ansah was, but no, it never connected that Deion Jordan was taken that high.
So, I mean, we're talking about two guys who, look, granted, they've been in the league for 7 years. We're not looking at all of a sudden now they're going to maximize that top five overall potential. But two guys that do have incredible talent. And two guys who have shown flashes of, in passing situations in the right spot, being able to do that one thing, which is rush the passer. I actually think that, I mean, look, you can't replace Nick Bosa. But in terms of replacing Dee Ford and trying to help out Arik Armstead, these guys are the right kind of player to me. Because, yeah, they're pretty much just going to go get the quarterback. But that's someone to attract that attention that lets Arik Armstead do his job a little better. Because, you know, to your point, and putting aside whether the Giants are going to run it all day and not need to double-team people for pass protection, but just generally speaking, from a philosophical approach standpoint, even if it's a guy like Ansah or Jordan who's just flashing on passing downs, this defense has to do something up front to make it so that shutting down Arik Armstead isn't the whole job of beating this defense.
You're right. It's absolutely right. I mean, it just can't, the pressure can't just be coming from one place and you expect it to be an afternoon. All hands on deck, baby. All hands. Let's go. Let's get it done. I mean, and think about it. If really shutting down the run is part and parcel of winning, how hard is it to shut down this run? Devontae Freeman, who joined the team this week, is listed as the New York Giants' starting running back. Deion Lewis is their backup. Wayne Gallman.
Also new.
Yeah. Wayne Gallman is the third string running back. I have to click on his name because I've never heard of Wayne Gallman. I don't even know where he went to college. Oh, he went to Clemson. Okay. So maybe I should pay more attention to Clemson, right? But 2017 fourth round pick, Wayne Gallman, everyone. If you lose.
He's been their third string guy since he got there. He's sort of a six carry a game guy. So, you know, nothing changes there.
Devontae and that's sort of Freeman. Exactly, well, yeah, that's exactly what Deion Lewis is too, is a five or six carry a game guy, get him in some passing action ideally. So that's why Freeman is listed as the number one running back. And frankly, if they want anybody to run it more than five or six times, that's who it probably has to be, which, again, feels like it plays in the Niners' favor.
You would think so. I mean, the reason why those guys are touching it so little is because they depend so much on Saquon Barkley, the rare bell cow running back that you find in the NFL, who was, you know, barring injury, going to take 70% of the carries before the year even started. We all knew that. That's why so many people drafted Saquon Barkley in the top 3, 4, 5 picks of every single fantasy draft conducted in America. Bell cow. Christian McCaffrey. Bell cow. Also out. It's rough being a running back in this league. Ask Raheem Mostert, ask Tevin Coleman if you don't believe me. We're going to be asking Brandon Tierney more about the New York Giants. I almost said San Francisco Giants, but that's a baseball team. The New York Giants coming up in just a little bit. He is joining us in about 20 minutes from right now. Back to the Greenbrier in West Virginia. Nick Mullins, who was starting for the first time in a long time, was asked, what about you is better than the last time we saw you. And here's what
first it starts with arm strength. First, it starts with arm strength. You know, that's the thing everybody's going to criticize, but it's one thing that I've attacked. And playing with the full field, that's huge to me. And I'm excited to show that on Sunday. And then being in the system for, 4 years now, like Coach Shanahan says, how automatic can you get? You know, just everything, how crisp, how automatic, how professional can you be? And that's one thing that I've focused on every single day.
So he says arm strength, fourth year in the offense, full field. What gives him the full field? His knowledge of the offense or his arm strength that he says is improved?
I think it's both, and that's the question I was asking yesterday people who might know this sort of thing, Sean Salisbury for one. What had been the limit on Nick Mullins was arm strength, it seemed like, and how much of the playbook would Kyle Shanahan have to tuck into his back pocket with Mullins in there instead of Garoppolo, and you know, whether it's true or not, Mullins is saying none of it. I have the whole playbook because I've been here, I understand it, and I have the arm strength to do it.
Yeah, I think it's not, I don't know how much better his arm strength is, but his knowledge of the playbook is probably the most compelling thing about him right now, at least this week, because I don't think they're going to ask him to show us his arm strength very often, if at all. If they have this game controlled the way they want to control it, I'd be surprised if they went, 15 yards plus on more than one or two patterns in the game. And I don't know if that's enough of a sample size.
Yeah, but his arm strength problems, Ray, the problems he had with arm strength, those showed up on 8 yard outs. So I think we will get a sense of whether it's true that he has worked on that, because he was fluttering an 8 yard out the last time we saw him.
I mean, so we all expect Nick Mullins to be looking like an awful lot like a Charlie checkdown and underneath mid-range, a lot of, like Ray just said, 15 yards and under all afternoon long. I think we're expecting that. I think fans are expecting that. I think probably in New York they might be expecting that. Again, we'll ask Tierney coming up. So if that's what you're expecting, you got to kind of do the opposite, right? I mean, I wouldn't be surprised at all. First play of the game, throw deep. Why not? Kyle Shanahan is all about getting you
a big play action shot.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't even establish the run before you go play action. I'm just go. Why not? Why not? See if the Giants are sucking in, everybody sucking up defense, looking to crowd the line early, because of course they're going to try to establish the run, and it's just boom, over the top right away. That's kind of what Kyle Shanahan does. Mix and match. Be unpredictable. Run guys open. That's what he does. That's his culture. That's why he's here. So it's going to be, look, I don't know how interesting this game would have really been if it were all hands on deck, equal strength all the way around, even with Saquon Barkley in there, with all due respect. That's how much better the 49ers are supposed to be than the Giants this year. We have been thrust into a more interesting football game than I think anyone wanted to see. But I kind of still want to see it. I mean, let's do it. How about this? If you really are going to go back to the Super Bowl, you win this game easily.
Yep.
You win this game. You win this game in a waltz. Maybe that's a lot. Okay. That's an awful lot to ask. But you win this game. You win this game if your culture is that approved, ingrained in who you are. Because the culture that the Giants have is still yet to be determined. Who knows who they are? Tell me about the New York Giants. What can you tell me? Well, I don't know. No one's been there long enough yet to establish themselves. The head coach, the running back, the quarterback, everybody. The whole damn team is on a wait-and-see basis. There's nothing wait-and-see about the 49ers other than let's wait and see how long it takes for some of these guys to get healthy and back in there. That's the only wait-and-see. So let's do it, man. Sunday. Sunday, 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 Sunday. I'm looking forward to it. Kyle Shanahan was asked about the improvement he's seen out of Nick Mullins, and again, arm strength was the theme of his answer as well.
I think Nick works at it all the time. The more you work at it, the more your feet are under you. I mean, it's not all just about the arm. It's, you know, it's the rhythm with within your drops, your drop back, the rhythm with where you're going when you're eligible, seeing things. I mean, when you can have your feet under you and your cleats in the ground and you let something go on time, you're going to get the most out of your arm. So the more he is decisive, the more he knows exactly where he's going, the more he gets out of his arm. So he's gotten a lot more reps than he did last time. I mean, not live reps. But he played pretty well the last time he played, and he usually gets most of his reps in camp, gets a ton on scout team. But it was really good for him this week to get 3 days in a row with the ones and looked ready to go.
Groomed, ready to go. Let's see it, Nick.
Yeah. And to your point about, you know, if you're who you think you are, you win this game. Kansas City Chiefs were without Patrick Mahomes last year and went with Matt Moore. And they went 1-1. I assure you, the drop-off from Patrick Mahomes to Matt Moore is a lot larger than the drop-off from Jimmy Garoppolo to Nick Mullins. So you just got to get it done. This is a get-it-done week.
It's just survive in advance. You know, if you're the 49ers, and let's face it, most of you are not, get out of there 17-10, 20-10. You have nothing to prove yet about who you are or what you are, except that you should be able to control this game. You don't have to win by a ton. You don't have to score a ton. What you all really just need to do is keep the Giants from being better than they are. And that, it's no more complicated than that, at least
to me. Who they are is an 0-2 football team.
And a bad 0-2 football team, not just an 0-2 football team, a really, really bad one.
Yeah.
Nash just asked me, oh, go ahead, Ray.
No, I was just going to say, they're an 0-2 football team with no discernible offensive weapons. That's the reason why people are just spitting up about this game, even though the line has dropped from 7 to 3.5, including another half point today when Kittle was announced as out. So it's, you know, there are a lot of people betting against the 49ers rather than for the Giants because the Giants are not really a bettable team at this point. But that's the point of the game, which is make sure the Giants don't figure out a way to do things that they should not normally be able to do.
So, Ray, you said the Niners have nothing to prove here or can't really prove anything. Do we think? And this I should say, was from Lucas, but Nash was the messenger in my ear. Do we think Nick Mullins has something to prove?
Every
not this
backup
week
quarterback,
to me.
Well, every backup quarterback, by definition, is something to prove.
See, Ray, I think not only because of what Damon's saying, obviously that's true. If you didn't have anything to prove, you'd be starting somewhere. But I actually think for Mullins, this is sort of a bigger deal. I mean, there's a lot of questions here. He's going to, in all likelihood, get a couple starts, but at least he has this one. And if he puts on a show against a bad Giants team, that could secure his future. How many times have we seen a backup come in and have one good start and then go get paid? It could even, if he's good enough, give Shanahan and Lynch the cover where if they don't feel like Garoppolo's getting it done at the end of the year, they can move on and use Nick Mullins as sort of a gap bridger till they get the guy they want in. So I actually think how well Nick Mullins plays, while it might not have that big of an effect on where the Niners go this year, I think it's kind of an important thing to watch.
You guys remember that game where Nick Mullins threw for 445 yards and 6 touchdowns against the New York Giants?
Could throw it over a mountain.
Name the movie, Ray. Throw it over a mountain.
No idea.
It's okay. Keep it that way.
No, I just, again, movies are not my strike zone.
I got one in Kolsky's corner today that I'm pretty sure is going to be in your strike zone.
Are we going to throw it over a mountain?
We're not.
Okay. By the way, so I want to answer my own question, and I can't remember the name of the movie now in my own head either.
What's Napoleon Dynamite.
Napoleon Dynamite. Thank you very much. I'm like Napoleon Kaufman, Napoleon Bonaparte. Napoleon C4.
Napoleon Kaufman, great raider.
Napoleon Bottle Cap. I couldn't think of it. Now I'm thinking about the Willie Mays. Look out, kids.
Pigskin quarter mile.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. Watch this. you doing?
That's what I'm talking about.
There you go.
It's not the best soundbite in the world, guys. Yeah, I would have told you that earlier. I mean, come on.
That might have played better on TV.
It played a lot better on TV. A lot better. Ray, we did not convince Ray that he needs to see Napoleon Dynamite in that soundbite alone. I can promise you that.
You probably moved the goalposts further away from me.
I wouldn't blame you. Look,
make a bet I can throw a football over the mountains.
There you go.
There you go.
There it is.
That's the one.
Was
That's
I talking
what
in the beginning of it? Did I talk over it in the beginning? All right. Okay. So, do the San Francisco Giants go to the postseason if they drop one of two games today to the Padres? Do they need to sweep this doubleheader?
No.
Wait.
I think this, the National.
Well, no, the way you asked that question, the yes and no were like both yes and no were the answer, no matter what. You said. So when you say no, you mean no, they don't have to sweep the doubleheader?
No, they don't have to sweep the doubleheader.
Okay.
Because sure, it would be a lot easier. It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
Well, that's a different question, and that's left for Giants fans, of which I am not one. I think this whole weekend is going to be a bunch of different sort of momentum shifts, and not even momentum shifts, just sort of attention shifts for us. Because right now the Cardinals are the 5 seed and they're losing 3-0 at home to Milwaukee. So,
go,
you know,
Brewers.
What happens if the Cardinals lose twice?
Then you don't have to sweep the Padres.
Then you don't. Yeah, I mean, that's the point. It's just every game impacts every other game, which is why I don't think that you're going to get enough bad results for Giants fans to make them need to sweep this.
I don't think they need to sweep the series necessarily.
Well, I was talking about just sweeping the doubleheader.
Yeah, I know. I do think they need to sweep the doubleheader because I think they probably got to take 3 out of 4 in this series, and I'm not sure I trust them to win both of the next two. So I feel like they need both of these today. Now, Ray's right. You know, lots of other things could happen, but there are a lot of teams in here. And my instinct is, if they lose 3 out of 4, or even if they split with the Padres, somebody is bound to win this weekend. Someone who's got a chance at the playoffs is bound to win some games.
Right now, it is indeed 3-0, bottom of the 5th, Cardinals hosting the Brewers. Brewers on top there in St. Louis. And again, crucial games all around. You can count the Rockies out of it if you want, but they've got a doubleheader today against the Diamondbacks. The Phillies are going to be getting going right about now against the Tampa Bay Rays. Phillies at the Rays today. They're still in shouting distance. The Marlins are in shouting distance of the National League wild card. They're at the New York Yankees tonight. And, of course, 2 games for the Giants against the Padres. Cubs, White Sox, just throwing that out there. It's also happening, little across town. That's tonight. And
hopefully the White Sox can get healthy against the Cubs. That's what I need.
Yeah. I'll tell you, man, they're good. They are good. I'm not talking about the Cubs. The White Sox are good. If they can get healthy, they could absolutely make noise this October. Great day. Just a great day for baseball. Maybe the most important weekend of the entire baseball. See, well, there's no maybe about it for the National League wild card. It certainly is. So stick around. We got an awful lot more coming up this afternoon. Don't you go anywhere. Next, though, by the way, A's and Mariners tonight. Not that they're in the barn. They're cool. A's and Mariners a little bit later on tonight. Coming up next, Brandon Tierney, old friend of the station. And now on CBS Sports Radio, he joins us to give us a little preview of 49ers and New York Giants. That's next here on 95.7 The Game. And you want to be following us on social media account right now. We got the Butcher Boy, Joe Shasky, and Jerry Rice showing you how to elevate your tailgate. Brought to you by Snake River Farms, the pioneer of American Wagyu beef, and by Zenni, the official eyewear of the San Francisco 49ers. And I know it's even not in the copy, but Gold Bar Whiskey, baby. That's good, by the way. Normally when you see a novelty bottle, I'm worried about the contents. A novelty bottle normally means, the whiskey inside's not going to be very good. The novelty bottle has very good whiskey in it. Gold Bar Whiskey is smooth. I like it. So, Niners, feel free to send the entire show as many Gold Bar Whiskey bars as you possibly can. We will keep touting it. Stick around. Brandon Tierney joins us next. Damon Ratto and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game.
Damon Ratto and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
So in about a half an hour from now, we'll be breaking it down with Brian Baldinger, one of the best at breaking down game film anywhere around the world of football. We always look forward to talking to him as a weekly guest. And we look forward for the opportunity to sneak back an old friend into the show, onto the station, whenever we can. Normally, I bump into him at a Super Bowl and we'll do something then. But we got reason to say hello to Brandon Tierney, who, of course, many of you know from his stint on 95.7 The Game. Now in New York City, the co-host of Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio. Brandon, thank you for joining us here on Damon Ratto and Kolsky. How are you, pal?
Always good being back. D. Bruce, always enjoy chatting. I'm sure that Ratto is as happy as ever. And looking forward to getting to know Maddie a little bit. What's happening, boys? How we doing?
We are very, very good. We're a lot healthier than the 49ers are going into this weekend, that's for sure. The New York Giants are hardly a picture of health themselves. What a huge injury to Saquon Barkley. Look, Joe Judge has a very big mountain to climb. How bigger did it get with Barkley's injury?
Well, you know, I got to tell you, I mean, the obvious answer is bigger, obviously. But I think it's beyond that, Damon. They just had a culture issue. They had a couple of clowns who were in here previously. They just, I mean, at least in the form of McAdoo, who was a complete mess. At least Shermer was a buttoned-up professional. I'm not throwing him in the clown file. But the Giants, much like the Niners, even though the Niners' history is certainly championship more extensive than the Giants, but there's certain teams when they lose their way, it just seems foreign, like sloppiness or unprofessionalism, you know, really wretched drafts. Certain teams aren't supposed to do that, and the Giants just, man, they were throwing the wrong money at the wrong guys for years. They were drafting the wrong player. It got very loose, and the Giants morphed into really something that was unrecognizable. So without Barkley, who can, you know, bust 170 yards at any point, it obviously complicates matters. But I think it's really just about getting back to the business of fundamental football, you know, playing with passion. It's going to sound very cliche, playing with integrity, playing with purpose. But quite frankly, guys, they haven't done that for a while. So that's really where they are. They're planting the tree's not even visible yet. The soil is barely there. They're just trying to sprinkle some seeds and become competitive again and, you know, represent the team that Giants fans are used to, you know?
So is this a Giants team that is beginning the teardown, or have they finished the teardown and now they're starting at ground zero?
Well,
because the way you explained it, it sounds like they still have tearing down to do this year before they can actually start thinking about the future.
I think that that's a fair assertion. But by the way, Ray, I need to know, we're still rocking the same sweaters? What are we wearing on TV these days? Are we still a sweater guy? Have we changed the look a little bit, Ray?
Red gingham dresses.
I got to tell you, I didn't get to know you too well, but I always like you, Ray. I always appreciate it. You're doing some stuff on Comcast. I enjoy doing that with you. Listen, I think that anytime you bring in a coach and you have a first-year coach, there's an evaluation process. And there's certain guys who are untouchable. You just drafted Daniel Jones, sixth overall. Barkley was the second overall pick. Ingram's a guy you want to have at the tight end spot. Sterling Shepard's pretty good, though he's banged up. But defensively, I mean, listen, we're all old enough to know. When the Giants are the Giants, even when they won the two Super Bowls with Eli, they're coming with the four guys up front. They're hitting the quarterback, and obviously before that, Lawrence Taylor, Leonard Marshall, Carl Banks, all these guys. I think that Joe Judge is going to be successful. I do. It's going to take a little while. I love a special teams angle. I think that's the quickest way to become at least somewhat competitive, kind of focused on field position. No, but what they're doing now is in stark contrast what they tried to do, which clearly didn't work. They wanted to rebuild on the fly, you know, justify the exorbitant ticket prices, keep 80,000 people coming to MetLife. Clearly no fans this year. I get that. But now I really think they're committed to breaking it down systematically and determining, all right, who's a Giant? and who's not. I really think that that's, they're in the infancy of the process, right, to answer it the best way.
So you mentioned him as an untouchable there, but give me some more on Danny Dimes. Do you like him? You think this is a quarterback with a big future or not so much?
D. Bruce, I like him. I like him. He's a kid who, Was it against Carolina? There's, if you can find it, definitely find it on YouTube. I believe it was maybe in Miami, but he ran away from five guys where, and I don't mean because he had a 10-yard head start. He just outran guys who play positions who are running, you know, 4-4 changes, 4-5. He outran. They couldn't catch him. He's a good athlete. He put on real good, evident, functional weight, which he needed to this offseason. He throws a good ball. He's got a good arm. He's able to go off script and make some plays. And if there's a breakdown, Danny Jones is going to run around a little bit and make you miss and generally make something positive happen. Now, what the Giants need to coach out of him, and he is a Duke kid, so he's got that wisdom. I think it's going to click sooner than later. It, you know, listen, sometimes you got to eat it. Sometimes you have to step out of bounds. Sometimes you have to throw into the ninth row just to keep the drive going and live to see another set of downs and punt the ball away. Daniel Jones has a lot of talent, And when he was drafted, they were roundly criticized. But listen, you know how it goes. You draft the kid. Oh, wait, he's not playing for Clemson? Oh, wait, he's not playing for Ohio State? Wait, I haven't seen this kid play that much. I don't really know. No, if you watch Daniel Jones play, you knew that he elevated marginal talent around him to make Duke a pretty representative product. I wouldn't say that I'm all in on Daniel Jones, but I've got eight of the 10 fingers in on Jones. I like him. I do.
Brandon Tierney on the Bay Area Chevy Dealers guest line. Damon Ratto and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game. So, Joe Judge, full of fire and brimstone and that New England bluster, which I'm sure plays well in the New York fan base, but how's it playing in a locker room? And we know that locker rooms don't exactly take to old school coaching quite like they used to.
That's very true. As an obvious but an accurate observation, the modern athlete, the younger modern athlete has changed a lot. The AAU circuit for hoops and, you know, not to paint with such a broad brush because there's some old school gamers out there that are young for sure and who like to get challenged and get coached up. But it's a little bit more coddling at the lower levels. It's different, no question. I think that Joe Judge has struck the perfect tone. We had Joe on. First of all, one thing that Joe, and it was odd, it was a bit of an ominous start. I called him on it. You know, he refused to mention Daniel Jones by name. I mean, this guy's, he did two pressers, and he just said the quarterback. Oh, well, hold on a second. That's not going to fly. You're not coming in here with four rings. You don't have the cachet. You don't have the juice. So Teague and I had him on a national show, and, you know, none of the New York writers were able to open him up like this. None of the local radio stations got him to do this. We humanized him, and I'm not trying to take credit for it, but we had a conversation. And as the conversation went deeper and deeper, I'm saying, all right, this guy gets it. He's cool. He's a natural conversationalist. And actually, it's funny. They did something at camp. I don't know if you saw this on social media. It was probably more regional than national, but, you know, he preaches ball security clearly as a special teams guy. And, you know, it was at the end of practice. It was hot as hell, 96 degrees, whatever. And one of the guys threw a ball on the turf, and it was like muddied and wet. And Joe Judge ran after it, and he dived on it, and he was full of mud, and guys jumped on him, and they were rolling around on him. And I think that that resonates. I don't think it works everywhere. I don't think it works with every locker room. And after a while, you need to see some tangible results. Otherwise, that does get stale. But I think Joe I like the balance of being assertive and tough, but also his own man, not a Belichickian disciple, which will never work. Yeah, Mangini tried that, fell on his face, not gonna work. I think he's got a conviction that is unwavering, a football intellect that is very high, a presence that is palpable and identifiable. I like the guy. I really do.
Well, then let me ask the back end of the question, which is Dave Gettleman. Is he up to the task of updating this team based on what seems to be a pretty 1980s, 1990s team-building philosophy?
Right, I don't think so. And I don't think Giants fans believe in Gettleman at all. There's definitely an antiquated philosophy, to use that word again, that seems to permeate all the drafts. I think Gettleman's a guy who, he kind of talks a good game, and he comes across, again, fire and brimstone. Yeah, Dave, I'm tough. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. But when the results aren't there, and they're not, and they haven't been since he really came here, not that they were in a good place before he took over, to be fair to Dave, but he has not distinguished himself as an astute drafter. I have not seen the acumen, the requisite acumen for a GM that you could have faith in to build a championship product. I don't see it. The term the hot seat, whatever, it is what it is. Come on, you throw it out there, who cares? It's oftentimes nebulous and misused. But I do think that in the case of Gettleman, if the Giants stumble to 5-11-ish, whatever it might be, 4-12, 6-10 in that neighborhood, which I think they're more 6 than 4. But if they do, he's going to have to answer the piper. And at that point, you're going to have to find a new GM. At least I would if I'm running the team, with all due respect. I have, almost no faith in Gettleman. I think Giant fans are with me. And listen, your track record is what it is. We do radio shows, we get the ratings. You write a column, what's the circulation? What's the clicks? What's the clickership, if you will? You just know. I mean, if you're selling cars, well, are you hitting your quota? If you're the GM, eventually you got to win some games. And otherwise, it's empty, hollow rhetoric. So, yeah, he's on thin ice. I'm not a big Gettleman guy. I'm not a big Gettleman believer. I can't sugarcoat it. I don't think he's done a good job. And I don't think that he suddenly changes and evolves. Like Jerry West, with age, has obviously evolved with the metrics of the game, the data of the game, the evolution of the player. Gettleman has not shown that same propensity, and that's a big problem, obviously.
If the San Francisco 49ers called Brandon Tierney and said, listen, man, you got your best wide receiver and your best running back out, what's the number one person other than the quarterback that we should be looking at that we got to stop to make sure we get out of New York with a win?
I think the guy that can slice you up a little bit is Evan Engram, tight end. He's not a blocker. He's a glorified wide receiver playing tight end. I mean, listen, the Giants are going to try to work in Devontae Freeman. All right, whatever. You mix in Deion Lewis, who's a nice change of pace guy. Darius Slayton is a player that, fantasy players know. Maybe he's a third wide out. Maybe he's a flex guy. Golden Tate's an old pro and tough and a good yak guy, and he's finally healthy. I think that the Giants, especially having just watched the 49ers against the Jets, I hate to say this because I was out there during the Renaissance with Harbaugh, and it was fun. I think it's just one of those. I don't think I'm saying anything that you guys haven't said or don't believe, but in that division with the Cardinals coming, with the Rams a little better than I thought, with Russell Wilson, who I picked to win the MVP and not doing anything to make me change my mind, I don't think that it's inconceivable that the 49ers finish last in this division. And at that point, depending upon how Jimmy plays and some of the young wide receivers develop, now you got to start looking and saying, okay, was that Super Bowl appearance an anomaly, or were the injuries the main reason for the derailment of the season? Quite frankly, I don't know the answer. I don't know. I obviously like the coach. I think he's innovative. I know you guys can run the ball, and conceptually it's tough to stop. I mean, 80 yards untouched on the first play of the game is probably more on the Jets than the actual execution. I think the Niners are in a rough spot. Like, again, I do a national show, so the regional aspect is, especially as a New York guy who hasn't worked locally in New York for a long time, I'm able to disconnect the emotion of, well, let's kind of accentuate the positives, and maybe if this happens, that could happen, and the Giants could win 9 games, and the Jets could be 9-7-2, or whatever it might be. Having worked in the market, I know what Niner fans are chasing. I know what they expect. That's championships. They've got some of the greatest play. When I was out there, I went to, where was it? Oh, God. The Masonic? Wasn't it the Masonic? Wherever it was. I was at an event where Dwight Clark, may he rest in peace, Ronnie Lott, Joe Montana, Roger Craig. I mean, you're talking about between Montana, Rice, of course, between Rice, Montana, and Ronnie Lott, arguably, and I don't think it's actually, you have to argue too hard, three of the 20 best players that have ever played the game of football, ever. So Niner fans are expecting a championship. It's not coming this year. I'm sorry. And the way the Cardinals and those other teams are coming, I think you may have missed your chance last year. I think I'm not going to say window shut, but it's not nearly as wide open as some optimistic Niner fans want to believe. And that's not me hating. That's just me knowing the league and looking around and saying, man, things are changing fast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.